Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be wholly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. So in Advent, hope is a noun, not a verb. Think about that. Hope is a person. When we enter this season of the great arrival, we're faced with an expectancy that's not just about a joyous tradition, but it is invested with living hope. You see, hope came. Came. Hope remains, if you will, in our hearts by faith. And hope will come again. Last Saturday, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, Chantel invited us to enjoy a matinee performance of Scrooge at Candlelight Dinner Theater. It's a story we all know from the pen of Charles Dickens, The Christmas Carol. It's a redemptive story, but it's a story that speaks to every generation. We would like to know what specifically lies for us in the invisible future, like Scrooge did. But in the grace and the kindness of God, he has chosen not to give it to us. But he has given us enough clues from the mouth of Jesus to recognize, how then shall we live? Our theme of hope is encased in Jesus' words regarding his second arrival. Today we dwell on his words in hopes that they may shape our way of being with him. Luke 21, 25 through 36 again. I quote, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know these things are happening. You know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, with drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." So, Jesus' conversation with disciples takes place in the last week of this, his earthly life. Though we're celebrating his first advent, he is instructing his followers regarding his second advent. In the first advent, the coming was a sweet story full of joy and goodness and love and tenderness. The second advent, not so much. The coming of the Son of Man, Jesus said, will be much different. His first prophecy in regarding the birth signs in creation. We'll see that in creation. Then, a unique cosmic upheaval will begin to take shape. His second prophecy regarding human experience. With the physical universe going through a catharsis, those who are here will be wondering, what's happening? Jesus describes the human experience as perplexed and fearful. Fear runs rampant at that time. The cosmic movements are no longer linear, no longer predictable. The laws of science, if you will, fly out the window. But Jesus' coming will not be a manger scene. He will be easy to identify as a heavenly royal. No longer subtle, but loudly, powerfully, and with stunning radiance. That's what glory is, stunning radiance. In one sense, Jesus describes the second coming as a process in the sense of coming. The redemption Jesus speaks of is unfolding in its full implication in the future. The way Jesus describes redemption defies the sense of being simply an event. Obviously, from his perspective, redemption has an unfolding nature. So in order to help his followers both then and now, it was imperative to use a metaphor to give them what they and we need to prepare as participants in the day of the Lord. The disciples, though living in towns and cities, understood the agricultural metaphor of the fig tree. They all knew about fig trees. They ate from them all the time. The fig tree in the springtime conveyed the notion of development or natural unfolding. The kingdom of God is coming like the growth and development of a fig tree in the springtime. The movement of time is easily ascertained in observing the fig tree. There are signs to be read that teach the development that takes place from one stage to another, from the blossom to the fruit. So it is, as Jesus says, regarding the kingdom of God and Jesus' role in it. When he comes in power and glory, it will be as the judge of all humankind, all of humankind. The last generation, frankly, is not just the matter of one lifetime or 40 years, as some speculate. But in this case, the last generation is made up of all of those since the resurrection. Those who live in the last generation were in it. We're there. Doesn't matter if it's another 40 years, 50 years, we're in it. We're all part of the last generation in this sense. There's nothing in God's kingdom from the resurrection to the day of the Lord. Nothing new in God's kingdom from the resurrection, which includes Pentecost, to the day of the Lord. This generation lives in the realm of redemption. We're being bought back. As the time shrinks for Jesus and the 12, his urgency is simply this: be ready. Be ready. The message is simple. You need to live ready. Since you will not know the day or the hour, you cannot get ready. You must be ready. Jesus' followers must live in light of these exciting events to come and to not give way to the temptation to imitate the people around us in the world. And then think, at some point, I can begin to get ready when the day comes. Not so much. There is a different cadence for our lives as followers of Jesus. You like that word cadence? There is a different cadence. By definition, we march to the cadence of a different drummer. When you hear the Christmas carol this year, Little Drummer Boy, think about this scripture. Let it remind you in terms of this scripture. You see, Jesus describes the cadence of the people of the world this way. He describes it with dissipation, drunkenness, and the cares of the world. Well, dissipation is an interesting word. Dissipation is a living hangover dependent on daily Bloody Marys. Dissipation. Drunkenness is living apart from the fruits of the Spirit. Remember Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's a contrast there. And the anxieties of life, are meant to suck the life out of us. The anxieties of life. The cares of this life are most insidious because they're so subtle. No wonder that Jesus zeroed in on the effects of a living hangover, of life apart from the Spirit, and of letting yourself be sucked dry. His concern is the issue of preparedness. When we stand before the Son of Man, it's a process of the ultimate salvation. Our salvation won't be complete until we stand there. Until then, it's still unfolding before us. At the root of salvation is that we're to be saved from something and saved to something. Therefore, in the end, Jesus, our hope, calls us to watch and pray and stand apart. So as we enter this Advent season, remember our hope. Our hope has a story attached to it. Jesus introduced us to that story today. Realize this. The life that we've been given in Christ begins with a vision. A vision that has a past, a present, and a future. And the framework of that vision is Jesus' story. The ways of our Christ life provide the substance of our faith. Let me say that again. The ways of our Christ life provide the substance of our faith. So realize this. As we enter the Advent season, we're summoned to a different cadence, a different expectancy, an expectancy that always contains mystery, and a different hope that is rooted in the story. Our hope is rooted in the story, but it is also carried into the present. We live that story today. So our challenge is to live in the spirit of hope in each day and each encounter throughout the season. And I dare say, our world depends on us for that. The world depends on us to be people of hope. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the words of Jesus. They do not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words will not. We can count on what you have been revealed in the Scriptures. It does not pass away. It remains. Lord, may our hope be the hope that Jesus is. May we be people of that hope. And we know that there's a story. Jesus has just revealed to us the story. There will be a time when the day of the Lord comes. May we be people who live in that hope and are that hope to other people, to each encounter, each experience, each human encounter of life. We thank you for the challenge. We ask for your blessing. Amen.